Totness Talks.
So, Jen, when did you come to Totness?
Okay, we've got a long Totness history, actually. Yeah. So despite appearances, I've been coming to Totness my whole life, longer than I can remember. So my ancestors are all in the graveyard down the road.
Really?
And my father is a Luscombe, so I was born a Luscombe. And we're the Luscombes of the A.W. Luscombe Butchers. So Albert Luscombe, who owned the butchers, and before that, his father, so that was my great-great-grandfather, were the butcher owners. And it's now the butchers that's now Oliver's that was A.W. Luscombe's.
I know. I used to shop at Luscombe's.
Yeah. So I sort of vaguely remember a Christmas when I was really little, sitting in the back of the butchers, like in the, you know, the shops in the apartment. You got the apartments all behind and above, having a Sunday roast with Uncle Albert, and he'd just come straight out of the butchers, you know, he'd still be in his overalls, all like bloody, and then he'd like clean the knife on his overalls and start carving the bit of meat that he had on the table. So yeah, I'm like about as Totness as they come, really, like ancestrally, despite appearances. And I remember when I was really little, my auntie, my great aunt Luscombe, so she was Eileen Luscombe, used to, you know, she was my favourite, she was like my favourite grandparent, even though she wasn't my grandma, so I used to come and stay with her quite often. And she'd parade me down the high street, and she'd say, everyone say, "Good morning, Miss Luscombe, good morning, Miss Luscombe." Oh, she'd say, "This is my great niece," and people would look at her like she'd lost the plot. You know, she's walking down the high street with this little brown girl, claiming that this is her favourite great niece.
That's wonderful. That's a lovely story. So where when you say you visited, where did you visit from?
Well, my dad's a vicar, and so we sort of lived all over, but we visited from London. Yeah, Wembley is where I grew up, near there, Queensbury. And yeah, so Totness has always been home, like, you know, the stable home, because vicars move around quite a lot.
So your dad was a vicar in Queensbury?
Yes.
Okay. And you, I know, I'm a northwest Londoner myself. Yeah. So presumably you moved to Totness at some point and you said, that's where I want to live.
So that was 4 years ago. We only moved 4 years ago, but my parents, when they retired, they moved back to Totness, because for us, Totness has always sort of been the ancestral home. And my mum's Jamaican, she's sort of Windrush generation, and my mum and dad met in Tottenham in London, which I'm sure you know.
I am a Tottenham supporter. The high street is my kind of...
Your stamping ground.
It's my kind of religious kind of home, Tottenham High Street.
Yeah. And then when they retired, they moved into the house, interestingly enough, that I always visited as a child, so into my great aunt's house. And so then spent many years still visiting them. So that was probably, I don't know, 17 years ago, coming up for 20 years ago. You know, we'd still come and visit them with my children then. So that was really nice, like coming back to the same house that I'd spent so many happy childhood memories. And then after Brexit, really, we just sort of, Brexit and then COVID, what a violent storm that was.
There are already things in your upbringing that are kind of not what most people in Totness would assume as kind of an upbringing. Are there things that stand out, do you think, in your upbringing that kind of might be different to other people, like stories that you were told or the way meals were served or anything like that?
I mean, I grew up in a really multicultural household just because the way it was, you know, my mum being Jamaican and my dad being English. But, you know, my mum's more British than the Queen. You know, she's that generation of Jamaican, you know, where, you know, things are done properly, you speak properly, you dress properly. And I think for that generation of Jamaicans, they moved to the UK with this idea of like how, you know, how everything was going to be so perfect and beautiful in Britain. And they got here and they were like, what's this nonsense? You know, they'd been raised properly. And then they found all this, these riffraff on the other side of the water. But yeah, I mean, we used to, you know, have eat Caribbean food. Hair's really important to black women, you know. So, you know, I've got, you know, sort of mixed Afro hair. And we used to spend, you know, our Saturdays doing hair. And growing up in London, it was different to here. It was easier to access, you know, we had, you know, Brent Cross and, you know, which are areas that have got lots of, well, lots of Indians and lots of Caribbean. So it was easy to, took it for granted, really, that you could just pop down the road and pick up a yam or, you know, just thought that was normal.
Yeah.
English fare. It's only when you got older you realised.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Was there a bit, I mean, even though you were used to Totnes, was there any shock to your system kind of coming down here?
I mean, it's really, I mean, if people say, do you miss London? The thing I always say is, the thing I miss the most is the food. Food is the thing I miss. Just being able to pop out and whatever, you know, pick up a, go to the Turkish shop or go to the Persian grocery store or go to the, yeah, that's the thing I miss the most.
I can relate to that. And the other thing that I'm interested in, was there stories that you were told? I mean, your dad was a vicar.
Yeah.
And so presumably you got a lot of church stories, a lot of, but your mum was Jamaican.
Yeah.
And there's a huge heritage.
Yeah.
Of Jamaican stories. So is there a story that?
Well, you mean like the Anansi stories, that sort of thing?
Anansi stories, yeah. Did you
get
them?
Not really, no. We didn't, you know, I did have an Anansi book, but it wasn't, I think I probably got a lot more of the, like, the English culture, because I think at that time people were still felt like in order to fit in, you know, you got to forget about all of that stuff and you've got to eat English food and you've got to act English and be English. So I think my mum was really raised in that sort of you've got to speak properly, you've got to eat properly, you've got to like somehow try and blend in.
Yes. I do know this one. And what about the church stories? Did you get a lot of church?
I mean, I grew up in the church. Church was just part of, you know, I grew up in the vicarage. Church was just part of my childhood.
And so is there a story from the Bible that you kind of really relate to, or one that you really don't relate to?
Not really. I think like all the Bible stories were like so much part of my life. They didn't even seem like stories. They were just part of, I mean, I went travelling. I travelled a lot in my 20s. Yeah. And I remember, you know, despite my dad being a vicar, you know, my parents were actually really liberal. And that's probably because of their own, they must have had a difficult time, I imagine.
I should think they did.
So, you know, I was never forced to go to church. But when I remember going travelling and like linking up with this, I don't know, it was like a sort of an evangelical, you know, like a mission movement, a leprosy mission, I think it was called, or something like that, or some offshoot of that. And they were really like, you know, if you don't know Jesus and you don't know God, then you're going to hell. And I remember just really like struggling with this concept, because that wasn't the God that I knew or the God that I'd been raised to know. Yeah. And, you know, this was sort of 25 years ago. So, you know, it wasn't like WhatsApp or mobile phones. It's like, you know, you had to go and find a phone box. And being so disturbed about this idea of like traveling with these missionaries and going into these remote Chinese villages to save these people, because poor them, if they'd never heard the word of God, you know, that was it. They were going to perish in the depths of hell. And I was thinking, this just doesn't seem right. So I remember, like, actually taking the time out to pay for a phone card, go find a phone box and ring my dad to have, like, you know, this deep theological conversation about, this doesn't seem right, you know. Anyway, the long and short of it was that he sort of said, I think you ought to, like, leave these guys alone and carry on with your travels.
And this was in China?
Yes, in China. Sorry, that's my long
game. It's all right. So, what was your best moment in China?
My best moment in China.
Did you go to the wall?
Yes. Did hike along the wall.
I mean that literally, not did you go to the wall. I mean,
the Great Wall
of China.
Yeah. My China was a really odd place. You know, and actually I was there when the bombings happened in London, and there's like no news in and there's no news out of China. And I'd like heard this, you know, we'd heard that this had happened. We couldn't get any news from home. So that was quite terrifying. But I think my best time in China was actually in Tibet. Eek, dare I say it, because, you know.
I know.
Tibet is not China. Yeah, that was the bit I enjoyed the most, was travelling over to Tibet and meeting the Tibetans. Mm. Yeah.
And what stands out in Tibet? I mean, because this is another aspect that I'm looking at, is all, the other thing about Totnes is there's just people who live here have been all over the place. We're connected, you know, like it's not a mystery or anything.
Yeah.
We are connected. You've been to Tibet and China.
Yeah.
And I expect other places. And your husband's Italian.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So what stood out about the Tibetan people was that they were like warriors, you know, like there was a really different vibe there. Like, you know, where in the rest of China, it really felt like everyone was being herded like sheep. You know, they were believing all the propaganda and the news that they were being fed. You got to Tibet, there was this like quiet, resilient fight going on. You could just see it in their eyes. You know, they were still wearing their traditional clothes and their traditional jewellery, and despite all that was going on and that they were trying to be beaten down, you could see in their own sort of quiet, very Buddhist way, they were still there. You weren't going to shut these people up.
Yeah.
They weren't going to just blend in and look Chinese. They very much looked Tibetan.
Well, that's quite a journey from the Luscombes to Tibet, and around. You told me before that you're a nurse.
Yeah.
So where do you work?
So, I actually work mostly remotely.
Yeah.
I work for a small clinic in London. Well, it was a small clinic. It's now been bought by Bupa, so it's all getting a bit booperized. And I'm actually a paediatric diabetes nurse, and I feel really blessed to have the job that I have, because it means that I can spend time with my kids and still do the job that I really enjoy and love. But yeah, I guess, you know, that's all part of who I am. How I got there is because, you know, my mum was a social worker, my dad was a vicar. We've always been in that sort of humanitarian field.
And do you think that kind of that humanitarian field is at all endangered at the moment?
Yeah. You know, the world seems like a really scary place at the moment, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're in the bubble of Totnes. So, I mean, in the 4 years you've lived here, have you seen changes in Totnes at all?
I think it's become more diverse, you know, like when I used to visit as a kid, you know, and I'd be here on my own visiting my auntie, I'd be the only black person in town. And, you know, when we first moved here, it's like every time I saw a black person, I was like, I'd have to wave to them, have to talk to them. Now it's like, well, I wouldn't get anywhere. So it's definitely improving. And I think Totnes is a bubble, and I think that's probably why it attracts... I literally would live nowhere else in Devon apart from here.
Like, you're right.
Yeah. I wouldn't live anywhere else. It's a small town, yeah. But I feel safe here. You know, we moved here from London to escape Brexit. That says a lot about a place.
Yeah.
You know, my husband's Italian, and, you know, Brexit... Well, I wouldn't say he was pissed off by it. It really upset... You know, it upset all of us. It really disturbed... Yeah, it was traumatic. I'd say it was a traumatic experience, actually. Like, you know, the memories of waking up that morning, realising what had happened. Like, going to bed thinking this is never gonna pass, and waking up the next day was like... I could actually put it down as one of the worst days of my life.
Me too.
It was such a shock to the system. And then everything that's come after that... Yeah, in that moment, I was naively living in this country thinking that I was English, and that people thought I was English, and that I belonged here, and that I fitted in. And when I woke up that morning, I sort of felt like my whole life was a lie.
There was a feeling that our whole lives were a lie on that morning, on June the 23rd, 2016. Yeah. I remember it too. And we moved here 40 plus years ago, and you're right, there weren't any black faces in town. And it's great, as far as I'm concerned. It's what makes us richer.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Jen.
Yeah, that's really welcome. Good.
That was Tony G speaking with Jen as part of the Respect Festival. Has been a Totnes Pulse production. Thank you for listening.